James Frazer, in his biography of composer Maurice Duruflay, holds nothing back. He agrees with reviewers who have described this work, the Duruflay Requiem, as softly luminous, sumptuous, suffused with a tender radiance, of a noble and restrained eloquence, and a sweet and serene light, having a beautiful unity and real grandeur. It would be no surprise that Epiphany Seattle Episcopal Church would select the Duruflay Requiem for a special liturgy in November 2022, the Reverend Dwight Kahn Jr. explains. Tonight, we celebrate All Souls. It is the service where we remember those who have died. The service is set within the framework of Maurice Duruflay's Requiem Mass. Duruflay, a French composer, wrote this Mass in response to a commission offered in 1941 during the dark days of the Nazi march across Europe. And as an act of defiance, it seems, Duruflay set within the Mass the resurrection imagery of light and lightness as that which casts out darkness. I invite you this evening, during the singing of the service, to close your eyes and let it wash over you. And as you do, imagine the sound waves as light waves coming at you from far, far away. Perhaps from that place where your loved ones who have passed now reside. In the darkness of the grief that naturally accompanies the passing of someone we love, there is the paradox. For what seems dark is not dark at all, but only beyond our capacity to see. Astronomers have an analogous paradox called Olber's paradox. It plays out through the darkness of the night sky. For, as the physicists explain, given the billions and trillions of stars, the sky should be as bright or brighter than the sun at all times. In fact, the heat from these billions and trillions of stars over billions of years should have caused even the dust particles of space to turn into luminescent balls of fire. But that is not the case, which has stymied physicists ever since Wilhelm Olber, 500 years ago, asked, "Why is the sky dark, when math tells us it should be bright as day? What happened to the light that was there, that should be there, but it is not there now? Where did it go?" Reverend Kahn continues, "I have the same feeling about the souls of the departed. I am stymied by their disappearance. Where are they? Why can't we see them? Why the darkness? Where did their light go? And why am I kept from them by the darkness that shades the reality of their eternal glory?" As for the physicists and their dark night sky paradox, in the 1920s, Edwin Hubble had an insight revealed through the new technology of stronger telescopes that the universe is expanding, that stars and galaxies are moving away from each other at a rapid speed, a speed faster than the speed of light. This insight made possible the Big Bang theory and also answered the question, why is the sky dark at night? The answer to the riddle is the Doppler effect. We know what this is if we've ever heard an ambulance as it races down the street. The sound comes towards us, is loudest in our presence, and then disappears as the ambulance speeds away. The phenomenon has to do with the length of sound waves. The same effect takes place in the universe. As the universe expands, the light that returns back to us from the stars that are accelerating farther and farther away from us does so through longer and longer light waves that fall within a spectrum of light we cannot see. It is known as infrared light, which is a spectrum that exists outside our sense comprehension. And so, There is light shining upon us from all of the stars. It's just a light that we can no longer see, speeding away from us toward some new purpose. It is fitting, at least to me, that the words of the Dorfle Requiem are in Latin, because while I hear the words wash over me and know hidden within them are words about perpetual light, holy light, light eternal, I do not recognize these words. I can't read Latin. But even so, their beauty, truth, and grace wash over me. In the same way we live in a world awash with light, infrared light, that we just cannot see, it is the light that in the beginning was the Word, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And so, the night is as bright as the day. Both day and night are alike, the psalmist tells us. And it is my hope for you this evening, as you are washed over by this Requiem Mass, that there is an equanimity in your heart and that there is some ease for you around the loss of the ones that you love. Words of the Reverend Dwight L. Kahn, Jr. of Epiphany Seattle Episcopal Church before an All Souls Liturgy presented in the framework of the wonderful music we're hearing here, and that is the Dorfle Requiem Opus 9. The Reverend Kahn centered his reflections on the imagery of light, titling his remarks, The Dorfle Requiem, A Study in Light. And as we approach the winter solstice and the days are shortening, we have a chance to listen to this Mass that commentators describe as suffused with a radiance and serene light, as the Choral Society of Northeast Pennsylvania and Wilkes University present the Requiem by Maurice Dorfle with full orchestra, soloists, and over 100 singers this Sunday, November 23rd at 3 p.m. at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro Cathedral in downtown Wilkes-Barre, conducted by Joshua Harper. Joshua Harper is Artistic Director of the Choral Society and Assistant Professor at Wilkes University, and he paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the Choral Society and this very special concert.
The Choral Society of Northeast Pennsylvania, they're in their 27th season here in the region after combining from two other local choruses. This is my second season as the official artistic director after, of course, Alan Baker's long 25-year tenure. I'm really grateful to be riding on his coattails, it feels like, even still today. So I'm really excited. Obviously, last year we had a great season getting to know one another, getting used to one another. And it was just a really exciting time that about 6 months into my tenure, I sat down with the board president and he really started to say, so what are you dreaming of? What do you think we can do? What do you want to do in your second season? And so I'm really excited for this season because I think I know the chorus better. And I also was given license to dream a little bit, which of course as a conductor, as an artist, is always a great space to be in. And so this is our opening concert of the 27th season. And I couldn't imagine a bigger, greater, more important way for us to start.
Last time we spoke, we were talking about bluegrass and down home and Americana.
Yes. Yes.
And now we're talking about the exquisite music of Maurice Dorfle.
Yes.
And if we know him at all, we know him for this work and maybe some organ pieces, right?
Absolutely. It's so interesting that despite being a prolific musician, there were only 14 published works by Dorfle during his time. He was one just very critical of his own work, but also was a prolific organist, was a prolific teacher of harmony at the Paris Conservatory. So there are only 14 published works. The Requiem is his ninth opus, and really most of his works are for choruses and for organ. And so it's really, this is such an important piece in his repertoire because it's really the climax of both the organ and the choir works. And that's why we're really excited to present it to everyone this weekend.
Sometimes when we hear the word Requiem, we might be thinking of the bold ones by Verdi or Berlioz, Shaking the Rafters. Where does Dorfle fit in this tradition?
So Duriflet falls more closely to Faure's interpretation of the Requiem Mass, which is interesting, right? Because they're both two French masters in one sense, Faure before Duriflet. But Duriflet is really interested in so many ways of writing a Requiem Mass, not just for those who have passed, but in many ways for those of us who are still here, who are remembering. And that's why Duriflet's is a lot less hellfire and brimstone in many ways that we do associate with the Verdi and the Mozart at times, but instead really selecting texts from this part of the Mass Ordinary and focusing on the light eternal and thinking about the ways that we can remember those people who have passed on and what we can do in order to, in my opinion, reflect and refract that light as we continue to go through this life. And so that's one of the reasons I absolutely love the Duriflet in so many ways, because it is a remembrance piece, but it is also a piece of comfort. And it's that sense of comfort that we're really hoping to provide to the region through this concert.
And when you talk about reflecting and refracting light, what does that mean for somebody like Duriflet, the light eternal? How does he evoke that for us?
The most specific way is Duriflet's fascination with chant. Duriflet really, really loved the use of Gregorian chant. He studied it intently in his early days in France as a student, and he was just completely enamored with it because I think in his mind, it was something so of another world. There is no meter. There are no bar lines. This is an old music, and it's very dissimilar to even what he was hearing in the mid-20th century in France. And so all of the music in Duriflet's Requiem and many of his organ works as well, he pulls from the chant repertory. And so whether it is the Kyrie, whether it is the Domine Jesu Christe, in fact, the very opening notes that you hear are what I call noum for note, the exact chant line that he has taken. And then after he has presented the chant in its original form, then he goes about harmonizing it and manipulating it and utilizing it. But in that way, connecting to something that is also old and maybe gone before, but reimagining it and reflecting it in the modern context. And that's exactly what the whole Requiem really is about. It's beautiful chant music, but set in this beautiful French tradition, like really only this pinnacle of mid-20th century French art could find.
And we have a sense that there were different forces that could be used to perform the Requiem, right?
Yes. In fact, he ended up, before he passed, setting this in three different versions. There's the version just for organ that you often hear. And of course, all you really need is a good organ in order to provide a whole orchestra of sounds in many ways. He did also do what we call full orchestration for about 45 players. You don't actually even hear this version done very often anymore because it's so big and it actually doesn't incorporate the organ that much. And so the version that you, at least I should say selfishly, always am trying to hear is it's called the chamber orchestration, but it's really not a chamber orchestra in the sense that we know it. You could, he sets it for a string quartet if you want, but then he writes out all these parts of, but if you have four violins and if you have three violas, and that way it is more of an expansive string section, three trumpets, a percussion section of timpani, a big part for the organ. Of course, again, Duriflet was a fantastic organist himself, as well as, of course, for a mezzo-soprano solo and baritone solo. And so we're doing this orchestration right in the middle. Again, it's called the chamber orchestra version, but we've really flushed out the string section into a really full orchestra string section, and then incorporating the brass and the timpani and such.
How about working with singers who might not be used to singing chant?
Yeah. It's been a great process. I'm so excited that along with the Choral Society of Northeast Pennsylvania, we are joined by the Wilkes University Chorus. I also am an assistant professor of music at Wilkes University, and I really didn't want to miss this opportunity to present this great piece of music with an orchestra, with guest professional soloists, and not let it be an educational opportunity. That's a big part of the mission of the Choral Society. And so we brought Wilkes University in. And so for the students, you know, typical 18, 19-year-olds today, they're not quite used to singing chant. And the way that Duriflet does really codify chant and modify it in this way is in order for it to sound like there's no meter and there's no pulse, is instead it's mixed meter. And so it's 3/8 followed by 5/8 and 2/4 and 7/8. And so both the young singers at Wilkes University, but also a lot of the singers in the Choral Society, we had to really get our counting hats on. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Because you group chants into these groups of threes and twos rather than thinking fives and sevens and tens ultimately. That's how you're going to really find that natural chant style. That's how even in graduate school they teach you how to conduct chant, twos and threes. And so it's been really fascinating for me as an educator, as a teacher, in order to teach a multi-generational group of people how to perform chant and try to make it sound like it's just flowing naturally and it's very unique and original form. And I'm really proud of the way that we've done that. And I think everyone will really enjoy hearing that this coming weekend.
What role does the organ play? What is the effect like?
It's just the colors. In so many ways, the French tradition, especially in this 20th century idiom, they were so fascinated with color in so many ways. You can think about visual art and you think about all the famous French visual artists of that time. They're so interested in color and the way that you can utilize color in order to enhance the texture, but also let it be something that evokes the imagination and evokes imagery in that way and sets off the imagination. And so the organ, while it is often in contrast to the strings and to the brass, the amazing thing about the organ is it can present so many different colors. And we are so lucky that Mark Laubach, who is the canon for music at St. Stephen's Episcopal, he is playing the organ for us. And he has spent hours registering this organ to the specifics that Duraflay puts into the organ score. He says you need to have a reedy sound using a 16-foot pipe here, and then we need to have the trumpets and the 8-foot there. And I know this both from Mark's telling me a little bit, but also people who work at St. Stephen's. They said Mark was in there for 5 hours yesterday, you know, just working with the organ and finding that. And it's just so amazing. Last night we had our first rehearsal where Wilkes and Choral Society came together and Mark was on the organ. And just the colors that it evokes, the textures that it brings out, and the way that it complements the harmony that's already written within the voices. It's just truly a treasure. And we are so grateful in this region that we have a treasure like this organ, this instrument at St. Stephen's, and a treasure in Mark Laubach, who knows that instrument. And we were just so thrilled to start putting those pieces together last night and to hear the organ. And you just know Duraflay was a consummate organist. He won the Prix de Rome, not only for harmony, not only for composition, but also for organ. And that's what's really exciting, is to hear truly a French master of this instrument realized in real time here in 2025 in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
What was the impetus for creating this work? Was there a specific loss in Duraflay's life?
So Duraflay definitely was looking to write a piece for choir and for organ. At the time, they were going through the war, and there were grants for commissions for writing music and letting there be more French music being written. And so Duraflay was looking to write music and to try to make some money during a very depressed time in this part of Paris. But unfortunately, just about 2 years prior to the 1947 premiere, Duraflay's father had passed. And so he was still mourning that death. He was mourning and having that grief and dealing with it. And so when the commission came through that he could write, and really the commission was based upon the length of the work. And so he was interested in writing an extended work. And I think it just very naturally fell that, okay, I'm going to write a Requiem Mass, and I'm going to write it. He doesn't, you know, list in honor of his father, but all the musicologists and historians really say this was a piece written in memory of his father and written for those who also had lost in the war, because this was a very war-torn time in France in the mid-1900s.
The fact that you're doing this piece is a perfect complement to the remembering and honoring someone very special to not only the Choral Society of Northeast Pennsylvania, but to the music community of Northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we are performing this concert in memory of Francis Carroll McMullen. Fran was a dear friend of so many people in this region. He sang with the Choral Society for 30 years as the bass section leader. He was a cornerstone of this institution and a friend of so many. He's an alumni of Wilkes University, and so it was another important reason that I wanted Wilkes to be involved with this. And just so important to so many, whether it was his work at the Kirby Center, his work at the Scranton Cultural Center, his work at St. Luke's Episcopal Church, he was so deeply involved in music and religion and the arts in this region for so long. And interestingly enough, Fran was actually one of the first people that I met when I moved here. I had just moved here a few days prior, and we decided to check out the local Episcopal Church, and me and my wife walked into St. Luke's, and there was a really kind man named Fran McMullen, and I only got to know him for a few years. He passed this past January 2025, but so many people in the Choral Society, he's just one of their best friends and one of their closest collaborators. And I'm grateful I got to know him the little time I did, but it was important to me to help be able to curate and craft a concert along with those who knew him much better than I did, in a way that he would want to be remembered and in a way that would be special to those who remember him and who loved him dearly and deeply and who miss him and are mourning him and grieving him. And music and the arts is absolutely, that has to be one of the reasons we do it. It's a vehicle for expression. It's a vehicle for emotion. And for us to be able to sing this Requiem Mass as a community and in a way to remember Fran is vitally important. And I'm just privileged to be a part of that work ultimately.
Is there a special piece for him?
Yes. So upon his passing, it became really, really important both to our board members, to our former artistic director, Alan Baker. And very quickly, there was just a lot of talk of, we need to commission a piece in honor of Fran. And we want to remember his life and remember his legacy in a piece of music that will outlast, hopefully, all of us. And so after a few meetings also with Fran's widow, Carol McMullen, who sings with us in the Choral Society, we decided that we wanted to commission a piece that was deeply within the Anglican tradition. Fran was, as I mentioned, very involved in St. Luke's Episcopal. Everyone says he was a lover of old things. And so Fran really loved the liturgy. He really loved the music of the Episcopal Church. And so the decision was made that we would commission a new work within the Episcopal tradition by hopefully a good Episcopal composer that we could premiere, that we could give the world premiere of, and that we could premiere in honor of Fran. And so we are so excited this weekend to present the world premiere of a piece called O Lord, Support Us. The piece is written by Catherine Webb. Catherine has deep ties to this region in that she would come every summer growing up to the Royal Schools of Music course at St. Stephen's, where she studied organ and church music with Mark Laubach. And what's so fabulous, Katie, as I know her, because we went to grad school together, Katie is the canon for cathedral music in Portland, Oregon. And she's one of the most exciting living composers of Episcopal church music. In fact, many of the Episcopal churches in the region have been performing her work. She's prolific. And so when the board decided this was the style of the piece they really wanted it to be in, they said, do you know anybody? And I said, well, I do. So we did some research. We looked at her output, and very quickly everyone said, yes, let's see if we can get her to do it. And so I approached Catherine and I asked her, and she immediately said yes. St. Stephen's and Mark Laubach and that whole musical community was so formative in her years growing up in church music and the Episcopal style. So she was very, very happy to write the piece. She and I worked through the summer on going back and forth between a few ideas. And it's just a stunning piece. And last night was the first night we got to do it with the organ, with Mark. And there were a lot of tears shed because you can hear Katie's knowledge of this instrument. You can hear Katie's knowledge of St. Stephen's Episcopal Church. You can hear her love for the Episcopal tradition, a love that is shared by Fran. And it just all came alive. We've loved the piece from the first time we read it, but to hear it with the organ, to hear it in that space, it's just truly something one of a kind and something that we're really excited to share with this region. The text is by Cardinal Newman. It's an old text utilized at many funerals. It was read at Fran's funeral service, and Alan Baker and Carol, Fran's widow, they decided upon this text and felt like it was the right text to remember Fran, and the setting is just really special. I could say I'm biased, but I really don't think I am. It's just a really special piece of music, and we're really thrilled to present the world premiere this weekend in honor of our friend Fran. We feel really lucky the way it came together. In fact, in my mind, I said, well, if Katie can't accept this commission, who are we even going to go to? Because this all just feels so perfect. And so we're really, really thrilled that it did work out. And we're excited. I know many of the other Episcopal churches in the region are looking forward to incorporating the piece into their repertoire and performing it in the churches. And that's, again, how we want to remember Fran. He was a consummate musician. And to have an important piece of music with his name at the dedication at the top, I think is a way that his legacy, his influence, his light is going to continue to be reflected throughout this community and throughout this country.
There you are, Joshua, bringing it all back to the notion of light. Tell us then how we can experience it with you.
So this Sunday, November 23rd at 3 p.m., we'll present Durafle's Requiem at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro Cathedral. We're really excited, again, to present Durafle's Requiem. We're really excited to present the world premiere of The Lord Support Us by Catherine Webb. We also will present a piece called Illuminare by Elaine Hagenberg. She's another living composer who's written this piece based on really old Latin text, similar to Durafle's use of old chant, and is now bringing it into a really almost cinematic, vibrant context where light still illuminates the dark. And so we'll actually open with that. So we're really excited and grateful that we're offering this concert free. It's open to the public. We will take a free will donation at the door, but please come experience this music. We have a 25-person orchestra. We have guest soloists flying in from Kansas and Massachusetts who will be performing the solos for the Durafle. So we're grateful to PNC Bank, our season sponsor, as well as the grants that we've gotten both from Pennsylvania Council on the Arts and Lackawanna County. We're just so grateful that we're able to offer this big concert with orchestra and soloists and 117 singers to the region completely free of charge. And so we're hoping to just completely pack the place out, come early, grab a seat, and truly bask in beautiful music, and perhaps remember the people who you might have lost in this past year. You know, November 1st is the All Souls Day, and it's the time that we remember the people who have passed in the year. And I've lost a close family member this year, and I know other people have as well. And this is such an important day that we can come together and remember, we can come together and mourn, but we can also, again, think about what it is like to take those legacies, to take those virtues that those people left with us, and how to continue them, and how to move on, and how to keep going. And so we're really excited to be able to share this concert. It's going to be an emotional one, I know, for many. But as I mentioned before, if that's not what art, if that's not what music is for, then I don't really know what I'm doing here. So please join us this weekend, Sunday, November 23rd, 3 o'clock p.m., Wilkes University and the Choral Society of Northeast Pennsylvania presenting Durafle's Requiem.
Joshua Harper, Artistic Director of the Choral Society of Northeast Pennsylvania, their conductor, and Assistant Professor at Wilkes University, speaking with us about this very special program this Sunday, November 23rd, at 3 in the afternoon at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro Cathedral, 35 South Franklin Street in downtown Wilkes-Barre. It's free and open to the public, and it will feature the Requiem of Maurice Durufle, full orchestra and soloists, and the Wilkes University Chorus joining the Choral Society of Northeast Pennsylvania, and also Canon Mark Laubach, the organist and choral director at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro Cathedral and the grand organ there, and he will be the organist for the performance. And as we heard, he was busy making sure that the registrations on the organ were right. Also featured the Illuminare by Elaine Hagenberg to open, and then what is so meaningful to so many, the world premiere performance of O Lord Support Us by Catherine Webb, and that is dedicated to the memory of Francis McMullen. And so that's a very special program, the Choral Society of Northeast Pennsylvania and Wilkes University presenting the Durafle Requiem and this wonderful chance to hear the world premiere performance in honor of Francis McMullen, O Support Us, and that's by Catherine Webb. And it's this Sunday, November 23rd at 3 in the afternoon at St. Stephen's Episcopal Pro Cathedral, 35 South Franklin Street in downtown Wilkes-Barre, free and open to the public. For more information on the web, choralsociety.net. choralsociety.net.